Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host. From the Quick and Loan Studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, it's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, I am here. And I'm in Houston, and my partner this morning, we're going to get to Charlie Epps in a little bit. He is on tour, and we will be joining him from Bay Hill in about 15 minutes from now. But Billy Harmon is with us here from Palm Springs, hanging out for this hour to talk about what's going on out there on the tour and in golf in general. Billy, what's going on? Bill, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, how are you, bub?
I'm doing great, thank you.
We appreciate you being here. How's stuff in Palm Springs?
Beautiful.
As always.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yep. And, boy, it was awfully close last week. Your guy, for those of you who don't know, Bill Harmon for years taught Bill Haas. He was Jay Haas's caddy, Bill Haas, named after Billy Harmon. So those are, that is he's awfully close to the family. And Bill Haas, oh, so close last week. Did you talk to Jay or Bill after he got into the playoff last week?
Well, I talked to Jay, and, you know, obviously he spoke to Bill, so I got all my info from Jay. But I think, you know, the thing that I had to emphasize is that, you know, Charles Schwartzel did some incredible stuff the last six holes. Yeah. You know, the 65-foot putt for birdie on 13 and up and in on 14 at the about a 25% chance of getting that up and in, and he got a nice ruling there on 16, and then met another great up and in, and then he hole up from 20 feet at 17, and did all that to tie.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give him credit. He forced Bill to play. I thought Bill played very well, actually, the back nine. He struggled a little bit early in the front nine, and he seemed to right the ship and, you know, shot even on the back nine on a tough, cold, windy day, and Schwartzel just got the better of him.
Yeah, Bill played beautifully all week, didn't he? But those, it seemed like, I was texting you, I forget whether Thursday or it might have been Friday, and saying, you know, those greens, not what those guys were used to. They were awfully slow, and Bill left a couple of them short. He had those, if he had those in his back pocket, it might have been a different story.
Yeah, interesting. They talked about it all week, and there were certain putts that no players could get to the hole. I do think Faraday said they didn't look like they were slow, and I think that's what kind of buffaloed the players is sometimes a green looks a certain way and then it doesn't respond. But it was interesting. It was that way all week. You saw a lot of guys leaving it short. You know, Bill three-putted the first hole of the day for a par, and I thought maybe the shot that might have got him when he hit the wedge in the bunker at nine and a birdie in the lip. But having said all that, you know, I'm one of these guys that 156 guys started out, and he beat 154 of them. And you hate to give up the opportunity to win because winning is so difficult on tour. But once again, if you look at what Schwartzel did, the last six holes did all those things just to tie. And then Bill didn't hit a good shot in the playoff, and there you have it. So,
yeah.
Good week for Bill. Hopefully a lot to build on, but I'm sure he's very disappointed because of you just don't have that many opportunities to win tournaments, and I give him credit. His quote was, you know, the winners make birdies coming down the stretch, and I bogeyed two of my last four holes. So he's very realistic. The Haases are very realistic about golf. There's no excuses from them, but I would imagine he is disappointed.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, what's the carryover effect? You were on the bag for so long, so many pros. You know, you come so close, and it's either really disappointing or you say, hey, I'm playing really well right now.
Well, I think at the heat of the moment, you're disappointed. I don't think there's any question that when Bill was leaving there, he felt that he may have let one get away. Hopefully, as the week has gone on, he can look at it differently. and realize he hit a lot of good shots, he did a lot of good things. But I think, you know, for the first few days, it's I should have won that tournament, and I should have had my seventh tour win. And a lot of times you don't realize the other ramifications, Ryder Cup points, FedEx Cup points, all the players' contracts. Normally there's a huge bonus in there when they win a tournament. It solidifies you in the world rankings, which gets you into other tournaments. So a win is worth much more than the amount of money that you see the person winning with $1.1 million, which is a lot. But in reality, a win is means a lot more than that to a player, even in the financial gains, once again, FedEx, Ryder Cup, world rankings, all kinds of things. So I'm sure he's disappointed because he knows what a win would do for him. But once again, at the same time, you got to give Schwartzel credit. He did some things coming down the stretch that none of the other players were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Shot the best score on Sunday, and that turned into a win for him in the playoff against Bill Haas. And then the other story was young Lee McCoy and how difficult that was. Finished fourth, played with Jordan, actually beat Jordan on Sunday. A University of Georgia student and player. He grew up there in that subdivision at Innisbrook, and he played beautifully, and then had to leave a check for $292,000 on the table with about $350 in his bank account. That's got to be awfully difficult to leave that kind of money on the table.
Well, it wasn't that he left it because he didn't declare that he was a pro before he teed off.
Right.
I don't think he had a decision to make in the scores 10 on Sunday to turn pro and collect that money. At least that's my understanding of it. Having said all that, that is a, you know, as Steve said to him in the scores trailer, don't look at the money breakdown. You'll go nuts, you know. And I thought that was really great. Obviously, a phenomenal tournament for the young man. And then it'll be interesting to me to see how he backs it up, because now everybody's going to expect him to play like this every time he plays in a tour event. And the reality is, it's not going to happen, you know. And so, best case scenario, you know, he could get on the web.com tour next year. So, tremendous tournament for him. Obviously, had to be a wonderful experience. I know when a young player does stuff like that, the expectation goes through the roof for the spectators, but it doesn't with me, because I know it's golf and I know how hard golf is. And just look at Jordan Spieth at the moment, you know, some of his struggles. So great tournament for Lee McCoy. It'd be interesting to see how he backs it up.
No, absolutely. And speaking of young players, Charlie's going to be joining us, so we'll talk about Bay Hill. There was a 7-year-old this week, Billy. Did you see the story?
I did, yes.
He won a golf tournament in Spain last Saturday. He shot 50, which is a nice score, beautiful score for a 7-year-old. He got home, though. He realized that he signed an incorrect scorecard, that he really shot 51. He wrote the tournament, the local golf association, explaining the situation, and said, I got to get my trophy back. That's a 7-year-old, Bill. That's pretty cool.
And no other sport does that happen in golf, other than golf, because of the etiquette of the game and the rules and the integrity. It's such a unique sport. Every other sport, people are trying to get the edge, whether it's legal or not. And it's accepted. You know, it's accepted behavior, and it's not accepted in golf. And golf is a game of integrity, and you win with your clubs and your score. And everybody plays by the same set of rules. And you've got to give the young man credit, and you'd have to give his probably mother and father credit for raising him that way. So, wonderful story. Golf is an unbelievable sport when it comes to the integrity and the manner in which people play and compete.
Absolutely. And for a 7-year-old, you know, how thrilling it is probably for that young man to win and for him to give that back and to think that's more important than the actual win at the age of 7. That says something, and that's that. You got to give the parents credit. That's just great, great stuff. Great stuff. And you're right. That's golf.
What's interesting is no one would have ever known he'd won the tournament worldwide had he not done what he did.
Yeah, right.
So in reality, he got more, obviously, he got 10,000 times more got some recognition for doing the right thing. So good for him.
That's right. And in any other sport, the ball goes out of bounds off of you, but the ref calls it the other way. You never. Hey, and sorry, ref, that was off me. No, that's not going to happen, Bill.
Never.
Held on that big touchdown pass. They didn't see it. That was cool. All right, it's 10 past the hour, just getting it started. Charlie Epps is going to join us from Bay Hill. Ankel made the cut, so we'll talk to him about all that next here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here in Houston, John Granato, Billy Harmon is in Palm Springs. We're working on bringing Charlie in. Ankel tees off in about 8 minutes. So Charlie is busy. I don't know if Ankel needed a late sandwich or a cup of coffee, Bill, but Charlie isn't ready yet. He will be
driving Miss Ankel, boy.
he's staying off 10. He made the cut at even par, which was the cut, and so he's one of the late tee-offs for on number 10. So we will.
Did you see the wet shot he hit on 16 yesterday?
I didn't. He laid it up, did he?
Well, he laid it up on his second shot, and I don't know, he had about 90 yards, and he hit it so fat it didn't reach the water.
Oh my goodness!
So he didn't. He got lucky. Had he reached the water, he would have missed the cut, as it turned out.
Yeah.
He was 2 under at the time, well inside the cut line, got kind of a green light special, maybe to make a birdie. And he hit it so fat that it didn't even reach the water. So it was a layup with a layup. So, well, that would have really frosted you to play good for a couple of days and then miss a cut because of that.
Oh, man.
I'm glad he's playing the weekend. And I'm glad Charlie's there to get him to the tee on time, John.
Yeah. Well, somebody had to do that. Yeah, that's good, though, because he has been struggling. I mean, I think that, you know, he's in his 40s now, and it's so much tougher, and he has been scuffling with his game. So it's a little – I bet it's a confidence builder to make that cut now.
No doubt about it. No, when you're not going good, making cuts is a big deal. Because you need the – and you need the rounds. You need to play the weekend. You need to feel a little bit of heat. You need the reps, as Tiger would say, and there's no better rep than competition. So one of the bad things about missing a cut is you don't get to play those 2 days and to find out even more about your game.
Well, Charlie's with us now. Ankel to the tee box. He's got his breakfast sandwich and his coffee. So Charlie is here with us now on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and International Pro-Am. Charlie's here. Charlie, what's going on?
You know, we're just going to the 10th tee. I'm really excited. Ankel gets to play the weekend, and like Billy's been saying, you need some rest before the Masters, and he fought hard yesterday, and coming around.
Yeah.
What happened there on 16, Charlie? They showed that on TV. Boy, that was unbelievable. Your heart must have sunk when that ball was in the air.
Well, when I got up to right where the ball was, I knew we had trouble because it was in a divot, in a sand-filled divot. It looked like it was in a nest. And had a 90 yards to the pin, and he had just bogeyed the hole before, and you're trying to make
boy.
A cut. And the pressure was on, and he got a bad break there, and he tried to play the shot, and it just came out, you know, soft, no speed. And my stroke got really dry because, you know, I knew what was going to happen. But then on 18, he hit another shot where he got lucky and the ball hit the rock and went into the bunker. So it all evens out. But, it looked like a horrible shot. And he took a lot of shit from it. Excuse my language, from the players. But
100%, you know. Charlie.
Charlie, I don't know if you know this, you're on the radio.
Golf Hour.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've been doing radio since 1978. That might be the second bad word I've said, so I apologize to our listeners. And
what are you running a marathon there? You sound like you can't breathe or something.
Well, I'm just so excited to be talking with you.
Okay.
Well, apparently you didn't know that you were talking to him on the radio. So here we are, Charlie. So he's gone off, and that's all good. But the story there has got to be Jason Day and the way that guy is playing. Off to a rough start early. Looks like he's got his swing back, huh?
Yeah, he's real aggressive, and you're right. He hits the ball out of bounds, and he really was dominating the tournament, his first 18 holes, you know, with Rory making two doubles. But yesterday afternoon, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson, you know, they kept him in range. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Yeah, some good names at the top of the leaderboard. Charlie, what's going on there? Tell us, you guys know Bay Hill. You've been there, been going for years. The main characteristics and why these guys, 13 and 11 and 10, we've got some low scores out there this week.
Well, the golf course is absolutely perfect. For the first time, the superintendent has perfect fairways, and the greens are the best I've ever seen them. And they're at a speed where these guys can, you know, make the putts. And there's quite a few eagles. So, but you've got to really shoot 65, 66 to stay up with the leaders. But the conditions, very little wind, unlike the last couple of weeks at Doral and the Honda. The wind here is laid down, and the players. And this morning, you know, we got to go early because of storm coming in. So we should see a lot of birdies in the first 2.5-3 hours.
Bill, what do you think of when you think of Bay Hill?
Me?
Yeah.
I think it's much harder than the scores indicate. Personally, it's not one of my favorite courses, but it's kind of a bomber's course. But it's always been a great tournament, and having Arnold involved obviously is a huge deal. And look at the leaderboard. So a lot of times you might not like a course, but then you see arguably the three best ball strikers in the tournament are 1, 2, and 3. So tremendous golf being played. It looked like Jason's going to run away with it. And like Charlie said, in the afternoon, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson made a nice move. And, boy, just think of the amount of solid shots those three guys are going to hit today.
Yeah, it is. That's a really nice leaderboard up there. And usually, you know, a lot of times you'll see in tournaments the afternoon guys, they'll get the winds picking up and whatnot, and it's awfully difficult to make those runs. But they did it yesterday afternoon, which is awfully nice. Guys, Charlie, have you seen Keegan Bradley out there? Looks like he's got a bit of a resurgence going on this year.
Well, he's right like Mickelson. It's a Ryder Cup year. He's trying to see him on the range a lot. He's working hard. He just can't put four rounds together. But he shot a few good rounds, but he hadn't had a good tournament yet.
Who's teaching him now, Charlie?
You know, I haven't seen him with the teacher. I haven't seen McLean here this week. I've just seen him out on the range, you know, hitting balls and putting a lot.
I'm watching live right now, and they got Adam Scott out there. Boy, oh boy, you want to talk about a guy, Charlie? I was in the Bahamas this week, and Adam was at Albany, and Adam was out there on the course, and boy, is he the talk of the town out there. He's a member out there at Albany with Ian Poulter and Justin Rose and a bunch of guys out there. And is there anybody playing? He's got a chance to move up this year and do the kind of things that Jordan and Jason Day did last year, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And I had a chance to spend a couple minutes with him. He's very nice, very, very. He's really a nice person, and he had a big smile on his face. And I said, you know, Adam, you're really swinging well. He said, you know, Charlie, it's just all coming together, and the putting has just become second nature to him. He's just standing up and hitting it. So he had a good putting round the first round. Second round, he fell back, but. Yeah, he has it going, and he's got to be odds-on favorite going into Augusta.
Yeah, and that's a guy adjusted from the long putter, which is saying something. So that's good stuff. Halftime, don't go anywhere. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, I'm back here in the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston. Billy Harmon in Palm Springs. Charlie's at Bay Hill, where his guy has just teed off, and he's out there on the course. He is he's with Webb Simpson, and who else, Charlie?
No. Today we're paired in two. He has a twosome. He's with Trump's man. I'm not sure if we're going to get boycotted, but yesterday he played with Webb Simpson and Ryan Moore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Who you got today?
The kid that's sponsored by Trump. I forget his name.
Lavin or Herman or?
Herman.
Yeah.
Jimmy Herman.
Yeah, Jim Herman. He's with Jim Herman today, and they're out there on the course already. And this segment's brought to you by the Southern Texas PGA, Charlie. Got to get some instruction down here in Southern Texas.
That's exactly right. The Southern Texas PGA is an organization that has about 900 members all across South Texas that teach, promote, and run the golf courses where they work. And most specifically, they run great junior programs. And it's getting that time to start thinking about if you want your children to get involved in golf, you have the first tee, then you have the medalist program that's run by the Southern Texas PGA. Every Monday and every Friday, there's tournaments all over South Texas. So if you know, log on to stpga.com, look under junior golf, the medalist program, and get all the dates, all the tournaments. And I guarantee you, your kids will grow up better if they're involved in the game of golf. And the Southern Texas PGA and the PGA nationally are proud people that really, really want to get everybody involved. So let's have a great summer of golf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get there, stpga.com. All right, Billy asked a good question during the break. We got the big three, Jordan, Jason, and Rory. Do we have a big five now with Adam Scott and Bubba Watson? Good question. And, you know, at any time, all of those guys, while they're playing really well, could be the best player in the world. Your guy, Bill Haas, or your guy, Angel, is up against those guys. Which would you like to see him against the least? Name the top five guys that are playing right now in order, guys, that you would least like to see your guy up against on Sunday coming down the stretch.
Boy, Jason Day, Adam Scott, those two are really, you know, Jordan's struggling a little with all the fame and fortune that he's come on. Bubba's having an MRI this week. He hurt his back. But Jason Day is really, really, really a good player.
So you would go Jason and then Adam and then?
Yeah.
And then
I would say, for me, Rory, for some reason, I think Rory's such a freewheeler. Of course, Jason Day is also, but I don't think quite like Rory is. But it's funny, you know, that probably number five on the list would be Jordan Spieth, which, and he's the number one player. But the only reason I say that is that the other four guys hit it so far. That distance-wise, Bill would be in the ballpark with Jordan and the other guys. It's really no contest lengthwise, don't you think, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. But Jason Day, he's an all-around player now. He's long, and his putting is excellent. Well, Rory, you know, he's experimenting with left-hand low. So that puts a little, you know, worry in my mind because he's not sure what he's doing. And then, you know, he hit a ball out of bounds on the first hole of this tournament. He had two or three shots that just go wild. So I put Jason Day, Adam Scott, then Rory. But it's going to be a fun – I look for a four-way playoff at Augusta this year.
Four-way playoff. That's how well these guys are playing. I might put Adam first, how well that guy is playing right now. Boy, oh, boy, he just looked – he has looked unbeatable this last month, and he's playing well again this week. But, Jason, the length of these guys, just ridiculous. And we talked – I mentioned it before the break that Adam and Keegan, you know, we talked a little bit about both of those guys, and they've changed, you know, those long putters guys. It looks like that transition isn't nearly as difficult as maybe we thought it would be, Bill.
Well, it hasn't been for Adam, but I don't think Keegan has played very well at all the last year and a half for him. And so I don't know if he's had an occasional good round. Last week, I think he shot 67, 79 and missed the cut. So seems like Adam experimented with a lot of different grips. I know at the President's Cup, he used three different grips in 1 week. So he seems to have settled on what he's doing. He looks very confident putting. Not like he's taking a lot of time over the ball. It's like he's pulling the trigger. And the putt that he made to win at Doral was pretty pure, boy. That thing was in the hole right.
You know, when he went to the long putter, Bill, it wasn't because of a nerve problem. He just wanted to try to get better and tried it and became very good at it. Where Keegan, I think, is a little nervous, and sometimes his nerves get the best of him. And, there was a South African guy named Harold Henning who was a pretty good putter, and he went to the long putter and was successful. And then he went back to the conventional way of putting, and he was really good. So sometimes the change can help you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see, at Augusta with those greens, with the new putter, how confident those guys are going to be. What do you want to see, guys, here on, next week, the World Championships, and then we got the Shell Houston Open the last couple of weeks as we head toward the Masters. How did you like to gear up, first you, Bill, with Jay, as you're heading down with a couple of weeks to go?
Well, I think Jay liked playing into the Masters. I don't think he wanted to go in there searching for his game or for his swing. But everyone's different. Nowadays, the players play so much less than they used to, the amount of tournaments, because of the money they make. So they all have kind of different schedules. But I think, other than Nicklaus, it seemed like everybody used to always play their way into tournaments. And then the Tigers and the Phils kind of had different ways of doing it. But if I were advising a player, I'd want them to be playing. Like Charlie said, just the weekend for Angel this weekend is a big deal. It might not be to the fans, but when you're not playing well, it's a big deal to get in there and play the weekend and get the nerves and everything settled and get used to playing again.
Yeah, as Angel won his two majors, Charlie, what was the approach going in?
Well, the approach on the U.S. Open victory is that he really wasn't that excited to go play in the U.S. Open. He was in Europe, but he got into it because of the world ranking, and he got over to Oakmont and played nine holes on Tuesday, and it was so slow he quit, and then went out to play again on Wednesday, and it was real slow, and he really didn't like being there, and he only played nine holes, and he won the tournament. Sometimes if you don't make it as important as you think it is, Nicklaus always said, don't make it more important than it really is and keep it, level. Sometimes you're better. And he was prepared for the Masters victory, and we had a good week, although he missed the cut in the Houston Open the previous week. He just took it one day at a time, and some of these guys make it too important.
Yeah. And obviously,
can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I thought I got cut off there for a second.
Yeah, well, maybe we missed the end of your what you were saying there, but we got you.
No, that's right.
Charlie is in Bay Hill and getting ready, and we talked about it, how good it is, Charlie, that he making the cut and getting rounds in, and as you head down the stretch here toward the Masters, getting more and more rounds, getting more and more comfortable over the ball.
Oh my God, yes, and that's. That's why, coming down yesterday afternoon, I was so nervous. And he bogeyed 15, and then he goes to 16 and has to, hit a safe shot to 90 yards. And then it's in the horrible lie, and he chunks it. And the best thing, it came up short. So he was able to make the cut. And then when I go into the locker room, they start giving me this, nice shot on 16. I felt like I wanted to hit everybody. I was just so relieved that we're on the weekend, and this is really important for his preparation moving forward.
Absolutely. All right, we got three quarters in, one quarter to go on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance here on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Our final segment here with the guys. They are out at Bay Hill, as we mentioned, next week a World Championship, and then the Shell Houston Open, where they get the conditions ready. For those guys, it's obviously not the Masters, but they try to get similar conditions that those guys are going to face. Heard Steve Timms actually talking about getting it up to 12 and higher on the stimp meter. But you mentioned it, Bill, that 65-footer that Charles Schwartzel hit last week, how big that was. A little tip, you guys, for long putts, lagging putts, getting them close, anything that you guys can give somebody. See, that's where we lose so many strokes is three-putting. Now, you know, we're not going to hit it close so often, and we need to get long putts close. Is there anything, Charlie, your Angel's putting coach, what do you teach somebody?
Well, I think the amateurs don't spend enough time before or after practicing long putts of excess of 30 feet, 30 to 60 feet. You've got to get a feel for that. Use the old Texas wedge like Byron Nelson always said and Lee Trevino, and learn to get the feel of your stroke. Usually the short strokes are too long and the long strokes are too short. So Bobby Jones was a great lag putter, and his stroke was long and slow for long putts. Don't rush and just take enough backswing where you can create enough speed to make the ball go 60 feet. But it takes practice. And get out on the putting green late in the evening and hit for 30 minutes, and you'll become a better lag putter.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm watching right now putting off of the green, and it's so hard, you know, judging that first 10 feet off the green, how hard that you have to hit it and whatnot. Is there some kind of skill to that, Bill?
Yeah, you got to practice it.
That's it.
But I agree with Charlie. I would say 95% of the people that I teach amateurs take the putter back way too short on a long putt, way too short. I don't like the term lag putting for some reason. I think you should always try to hit a good putt. Usually lag putting for the amateur means how far short are they going to be. I think a good way to work on it is to putt across the green to the fringe and see how close you can stop the ball to the fringe, work on your speed. But the one thing I see the most is a very, very short backswing than it to explode on the ball. So I'd rather have too long a backswing on long putts. Control the pace of the putter head, not try to get pace.
And work on it, like you guys say. We see so many people, you know, and most amateurs, they just want to hit it far. They want to, you know, hit the ball well, obviously. You feel good about your round. But then you're three putting three or four or five greens, and then all of a sudden you can't score. We don't put nearly enough time into that, into the putting, Charlie.
No, not at all. But let me close with the story of the week. Ricky Fowler, who lives in West Palm Beach, 2.5-hour drive, he drove all the way up to see Arnold Palmer to explain why he wasn't going to play in this tournament, to thank him, spent some time with him, and went home. He's such a class act, because there was some criticism that there's not that many of the players here that should be here. But Ricky Fowler had 5 hours of drive just to come up and thank Mr. Palmer and tell him why he wasn't playing in his tournament. I thought that was just really a great
What do you think about the pros not playing there, Charlie?
Well, it's so complicated with their schedules, and they're going to play the match play. I can't criticize them. I don't, you know, and I think if anybody can understand, it's Palmer.
I agree with that. I think the pros have gotten a bad rap on that. And even Nicklaus said he never, ever has asked anybody to play in his tournament because he didn't like people bugging him to play in their tournament. So I think it's been overblown, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, the press needs something to write about.
Well, and Arnie didn't tee off to begin the tournament, did he, Charlie?
No. He's really not looking very good. He had a bad summer. He's recuperating. He's recovering. You know, he announced this week that he's not going to hit the first shot at Augusta, although he's going to go to Augusta. So he's ailing right now, but he drives around in his cart and he smiles and he waves to everybody. So he looks old.
Yeah, that's a shame. you know, what a great ambassador to the game. So you guys don't think that it was important to get there for Arnie, Bill?
You know, I just think, like I think Charlie said, it's very complicated. A lot of guys don't like the course. And I hate to say this, but we have a generation of people that probably don't know what Arnold did for the game. I think a lot of the younger players aren't as interested in tradition as maybe Charlie and I am. I don't know, say it's right or wrong. I just don't, I've never really sensed the younger players have a tremendous knowledge of tradition. Do you, Charlie?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Bill. But a guy like Ricky does. But, yeah, most of the guys are really into themselves. You know, they're spoiled little brats. And they...
Well, what do you really think, Charlie?
Charlie, that's golf hour today, John. Boy, it's great.
You know, I got, you know, they are. Our kids today are spoiled. And yep. They think that life owes them something. It's not only golfers. It's all across the board, you know. So, anyways, that's my take on it. And I'm going to stick with it.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Charlie. Don't back down. Hey, Charlie, is there tournament brackets out there on the tour?
Oh, yeah. They're all screwed up now.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan State going down. Baylor going down. Texas going down. Oh, yeah, they're into the Final Four.
Well, I would imagine if Phil was out there this week, it would be kicked up quite a bit, but he's not there. Charlie, get Angel in and post a nice score today, will you?
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot,
no swearing, Charlie.
Yeah.
No swearing.
Try not to swear out there, Charlie.